ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot.
Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
D-Mace, Finnegan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios. Home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you on NHL Trade Deadline Day. The Luke Shen trade to Winnipeg is official for a second-round pick and a fourth-round pick. At least according to the Jets' official release, there is nothing on salary retention. I will see what it says on the Penguins' release. But considering what the Predators got as part of a Luke Shen deal a couple of days ago, if the Penguins were able to get a second-round pick and a fourth-round pick for no salary retention, not a great look for Barry on that one.
I think you'd have to say that. I mean, just that's. I think what we have found in the last few days is how important the salary retention slots are. I never gave it too much thought, but I think as we look, and another one came down, Scott Laughton, right, a center that because he plays in the East, I think unless you're a pretty hardcore hockey fan, you may not have even heard of this guy. Right, he's a solid third line guy. Because Philadelphia could retain some salary, they got a first round pick for him from the Maple Leafs.
We will switch gears. We will keep you updated on any and all things that happen at the NHL trade deadline. Again, the trade deadline is 2:00. But the Tennessee Titans have some big decisions to make as well. NFL free agency is, I believe, Wednesday.
Oh. We got a frenzy today for the hockey. Next Wednesday is going to be a frenzy for the football.
Yes. So NFL free agency starts next week. And Nick Suss of the Tennessean sat down with Chad Brinker, the supreme ruler of football, as I call him.
Pretty cool for Nick that he got a meeting with the supreme ruler of football.
Yeah, that's
Nick must have pull.
That's quite impressive. I believe the sit-down occurred at the NFL Combine. But the headline of the story is why the Tennessee Titans front office has studied three recent NFL turnarounds for inspiration. And when it comes to free agency, there is one team that Chad Brinker, again, the supreme ruler of football, there is one franchise in the NFL he seems to have his eyes on, the Washington Commanders. This was a quote from Chad Brinker to Nick Suss of the Tennessean. Quote, of course they got the quarterback, Jaden Daniels, that really transformed the organization. But they went after volume and quantity. And I don't know that they spent more than $10 million per year on one particular player. It's just interesting when you start studying the strategies of these teams that have kind of climbed out of a situation like ours. So remember, last season in free agency for the Titans, they spent big money on Calvin Ridley, 4 years, $92 million. Lloyd Cushenberry, 4 years, $50 million. Chido Bey Awuzie, 3 years, $25.5 million. Tony Pollard, 3 years, $24 million. Here's what I saw in this story from Nick Suss. Quote, a year ago, the Tennessee Titans gave $168.4 million worth of contracts to wide receiver Calvin Ridley and Legarius Sneed. The Washington Commanders, meanwhile, used $177.4 million to sign 26 players. 19 inked one-year deals. No one signed longer for three seasons. Those 26 players combined to start 167 games for the Commanders. Per Pro Football Reference's approximate value metric, Washington's 26 free agent signings were worth a little bit more than the Titans' 16 best players, free agent or otherwise, combined. So the Washington Commanders went with a volume method in free agency. Some of the notable players they signed in free agency. They signed Bobby Wagner, linebacker, 1 year, worth up to $8.5 million. Safety Jeremy Chinn, 1 year, $5.2 million. Linebacker Frankie Louvu, 3 years, worth up to $36 million. Zach Ertz, 1 year, worth up to $5 million. They gave Dante Fowler a one-year deal. Defensively, Bobby Wagner, Jeremy Chinn, and Frankie Louvu were 1, 2, and 3 on the Commanders in tackles last season. Dante Fowler had 10.5 sacks. Zach Ertz had 654 receiving yards and 7 touchdowns. So I think it's interesting the approach that the Commanders took to free agency, and it appears that the Titans may take a page out of the Commanders' playbook when free agency starts next week.
It's interesting because I was looking at another article that Suss wrote about, you know, free agents, one free agent the Titans should target at every position. And Dante Fowler just happened to be on that list as far as edge rushers, outside backers. And then notably, Samaje Perine, obviously because he's from the Kansas City Chiefs, and that's where Boganzi comes from. So that's another guy that, you know, Suss sort of put in at the running back spot. Listen, whether they do it by volume or they try to do it the way they did last year, they got to get it right. See, everything sort of worked out in Washington's favor. Why? Because they had the quarterback. You know, you talked about the three guys that led the team in tackles. They were 1, 2, and 3, and all of them were free agents. But there were some on there that didn't hit as well, I'm sure. But a lot of that is overshadowed, whether it be good play or bad play by those individuals, by what the quarterback does. And Washington and Jaden Daniels were able to, you know, stake their claim as one of the young, top talented teams in the National Football League. So by volume, if you do it that way, then if you got a quarterback, maybe it hit, maybe it doesn't. But I think with the Titans, I'm not sure so much of volume like Washington. I just think they got to find guys that are going to contribute right away. That's whether you go out and get 4 free agents or 14 free agents. You have to have some hits, and hits right away, because the fan base they don't know anything else but draft picks that have come in here and hadn't, or free agents that have come in here and didn't earn the paycheck that you gave them or you were giving them.
So I'm wondering which players out there, and look, we will get more in depth about this next week, about the types of players that the Titans can find that can replicate what the Commanders did last season. A couple of the other teams mentioned in this article by Nick Suss of the Tennessean, the Bills and Lions. Nick Suss writes, there's a difference between having beliefs and ignoring what's right in front of your face. Brinker told the Tennessean that he spent a chunk of this offseason not only studying the Commanders' turnaround, but also the turnarounds in Buffalo and Detroit. That means looking into the controversial at-the-time measures taken by Buffalo GM Brandon Bean, who traded away big-name players like Sammy Watkins, Ronald Darby, and Marcell Dareus to build up draft capital. And it means considering the blockbuster move Detroit GM Brad Holmes made in his first month on the job, trading away superstar Matthew Stafford for a huge haul. The Titans don't have a Stafford-type asset to dangle in front of contenders, and they don't have the nearly $100 million in salary cap space the Commanders did when they rebuilt their roster last spring. What they do have is an awareness that giving small contracts to veteran players at non-premium positions is an effective way to plug holes, and they didn't have to study the Commanders to know that.
I agree with that philosophy for sure. And you hope that you hit. You need some hits. Yeah. I think no matter what you do, you need some hits. You need good return on investment. Which brings to mind, where do we think things are? I would love to see some reporting on this. It's not a big story around the league, so it's I think it's much more up to the local guys to figure out what's going on. Where are we in the Harold Landry situation here? Does he have trade value? Will they be able to get a trade? Like, because
what usually happens is you seek a trade, and then a lot of times the guy gets cut. Mm-hmm. Matthew Stafford, they let him kind of look at the market. He looked at it. He agreed to stay with the Rams. Christian Kirk, they put him out there. It looked like he was going to get cut, and they were able to trade him, but for a seventh-round pick. So with Harold Landry's price tag, I don't think they're going to get a whole lot in return. But are they going to keep Harold Landry, or are they just going to cut him?
Cutting Harold Landry without...
That's a big decision,
yeah,
don't you think?
Without having... And listen, I'm not saying that they don't have a plan, but when you allow a guy to free agent, if you allow a guy to go and test the market or go try to find a trade, then that's basically the first step to saying, hey, listen, I don't think this relationship is going to last really any further than what it has. So, you know, you may want to go out and, look for another suitor if possible. And that way you can kind of pick where you want the destination you want to go to. And that it would better that would have the Titans better understand if there is a trade market for Harold Landry. I would tend to think there is a trade market for him. But if you're talking about more than a fourth round pick, I don't think you're going to get it. And the fourth round, I think, is stretching it because he's getting older. Because, yeah, I know it's 2 years removed from the injury, but the injury is still there. And he did come back to play really good football. But, you know, that's one of those things if, you know, you allow him to walk, then you got to find somebody to replace him, somebody that's going to step in there and give you the production. Because, again, Titans need hits. That's what they need. And if you don't get a hit, a guy that we can see is making the team better, then it's not going to be a win for the organization.
I'm looking for this story. It was written on ESPN. It was the perfect trade locations for players who are going to be available. Harold Landry was one of them. And the suggestion was to the Baltimore Ravens for a fourth-round pick. I'm trying to find the story, but I do remember that they suggested Harold Landry to the Ravens for a fourth-round pick.
I think from a personnel standpoint, you tell me if you agree, D-Mace, that makes perfect sense. The question is, can they take his salary? Or does there need to be a reworking of the contract?
I think Baltimore would get a deal done contingent on reworking the contract of Harold Landry. I'm sure because, listen, I got to believe it because history doesn't refute what I'm saying. Harold Landry goes to Baltimore, he's going to have a damn good season.
I found the story, by the way.
Yeah. I think there's going to be a resurgence. And for defensive guys, when they step in that building, it just seems like they get better for whatever reason. At least the guys I know.
Surrounded by good players. It's
in
good
a good
system.
Organization, good system. Yeah, so if I'm Harold Landry, I'm trying my best to get to Baltimore.
So according to this story, what would it cost to land Harold Landry? I apologize. I'm not going to scroll all the way back up to see who wrote this story. Quote, the Titans are probably hoping there's little interest in Landry at his current contract figure and that they can keep him with a pay reduction. This was from last week, so I think this has changed. This is actually written by Ben Solak, who we've referenced on this show many times. Landry, who might be looking to join a contending team while he still has a few years of good play, might be willing to restructure with an acquiring team, which will increase the trade value that the team is willing to send for his contract. It's hard to see from the outside looking in. The Falcons sent a third-round pick to the Patriots for Matthew Judon last year. Judon was 32, only hitting the cap for $6.5 million and had recently delivered 12.5 and 15.5 sack seasons. Also, last August, the Seahawks traded 27-year-old Daryl Taylor to the Bears for a sixth-round pick. Taylor wasn't a scheme fit in Seattle and had only 1 year of $3.1 million left on his rookie deal. I'd imagine Landry will come in somewhere between those two compensations as long as he plays on a restructured contract for the acquiring team.
And that's what it's going to have to be. That's the only way I think a trade can be facilitated is if he reworks the contract. Now, I think he's more inclined to rework it with someone else than the Tennessee Titans because, again, If his goal is to go to a contender like right now, then listen, the only way that I'm not staying here for a reworked contract. I'm just not, because what you're going to do is you're going to go from paying me, how much was he making, Willie? How much did he constantly get to camp? Close to $20 million?
Landry?
Yeah.
Over $20
million. Yeah.
His cap hit.
Exactly. So he would have to, when I say take a pay cut, he would have to take a massive pay cut. It ain't a couple of million dollars.
Remember, it's the cap hit is one thing, and then what he is owed is
But what I'm saying is he's going to have to take a massive pay cut, like half, damn near half of what he was scheduled to make.
2 years remain on Landry's deal. The acquiring team would be on the hook for $17.5 million in 2025 and another $17.5 million in 2026, but all of that money is non-guaranteed.
He would have to play for it. $8 or $9 million. That's what the Tigers want him to play. Basically half. And I don't think he's going to do that on a team that's not ready to win. If the Tigers were ready to win, I think Harold Landry would do it all day. But because they're not ready to win, he would rather take that somewhere else, a team that's ready to win now.
The reason why Ben Solak picks the Ravens. Landry would make a great Raven. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely.
Baltimore wants to have a rotation at that position. The Ravens gave at least 500, but no more than 700 snaps to three players on the edge last season. Two of those three players, I hope I'm pronouncing this right, Odafe Owe and Kyle Van Noy, are signed only through 2025. Landry has enough coverage ability to work in the system and can provide an immediate pass rush impact at the position. The Ravens have consistently missed on draft picks and need quick help.
Because Harold Landry is a consistent player. Harold Landry is a good player. Solid. He's more than solid. He's a good player. And he is a 10-sack guy. He's a double-digit sack guy. 9.5, 10-sack guy. You put him in that system, he will end up doing what Van Noy did over the last couple of seasons. Van Noy seemed to be like his season, his career was sort of on a downcline. And then he has a resurgence with the Baltimore Ravens, I think the last two seasons.
10-plus sacks.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, to me, that's Harold Landry all over again. Van Noy was a consistent player in New England. I think that's where he was, in New England. And then came to Baltimore, and it just seemed like his career just, he got that extra energy. That would be Harold Landry going from here to there, or any other, I believe, scheme that's going to be a more rotating scheme in a team that's ready to win now.
We have some quick NHL trade deadline updates. First, I want to confirm that there was no salary retained on the Luke Shen trade. So Luke Shen was traded from Pittsburgh to Winnipeg for a second and fourth round draft pick, no salary retention.
Mm. Does not reflect well on the net result for what Barry Trotz got for Luke Shen.
One texter said, remember the texter I said I'm going to give him until August? That texter texted back in, I withdraw my previous statement about waiting until August to pass judgment on Trotz. He's in over his head. Remember, Barry Trotz on with Jared Stillman at 3 o'clock, and I imagine Jared will be asking Barry Trotz about this. Another update as it relates to Mikko Rantanen. According to Jeff Merrick, sounds like the basis of the return for Mikko Rantanen when they get the deal done will be Logan Stankoven and two first-round draft picks. Logan Stankoven, a really good young player for the Dallas Stars. He might not even be 21 at this point.
But is he a franchise guy? I don't know.
I wonder if they're getting first-round picks back. Maybe they flip one for someone who can help them now. How about Brock Besser?
It's been speculated that they might take those picks and then go try to get something else. Carolina is in an interesting position now because they have a very good team that's got a chance to win. That's a futures kind of move there. The net drop off from Rantanen to that package is a big one, unless they can take that and improve their team right now.
Barry Trotz addressed, again, we referenced some quotes from this story, but Barry Trotz talked with Alex Doherty of the Tennessean about the Novak Shen trade, now that we've seen that Shen is on the move again. This is what Barry Trotz told Alex Doherty. Quote, I had multiple teams call me on Shen. I had a certain value for him. On a standalone trade, I might have been able to get a little more. But with the value between Bunting and Novak going back and forth, me and Kyle Dubas, the GM of the Penguins, felt that if we made a little bigger deal, we could make it work.
I think it's clear that Barry Trotz, I think what his argument's going to be is he likes Michael Bunting more than most. I think he values Michael Bunting more than what people have graded that trade around, and only time will tell if that turns into something. But just on paper, when you say, okay, you got a four, it was part of a bigger deal, but if you sort of shave it off, people are kind of looking at it in two pieces, right? Novak for Bunting, Shen for a fourth. So from Pittsburgh's angle, Pittsburgh did a really nice job of maneuvering the assets. They got younger, and they just got a couple of picks.
So according to Frank Zeravalli of Daily Faceoff, Carolina and Dallas closing in on a deal. The details, the Stars will receive Mikko Rantanen with an 8-year extension in place. The Hurricanes will receive Logan Stankoven, 2 first-round picks plus smaller pieces. So we'll keep an eye on the NHL trade deadline, 615-737-1025. But it's time. It's 12:30, or soon to be 12:30 on Friday, which means it's time for Ask D-Mace, 615-737-1025. If you have questions for Derek, mostly nothing is off limits. Again, I screen the texts. David screens the calls. So keep it PG as best you can.
Please.
But Derek, he's game. He'll answer anything and everything. Again, mostly.
Let's do it.
615-737-1025. So get those calls and texts in now. This week's Nashville's Best Deal is from Brewster's Real Ice Cream in Hendersonville. See why Brewster's is a scoop above the rest with the best ice cream shakes, sundae splits, blasts, and more. Visit thegamenashville.com/deals now and get half off a $50 gift card while supplies last.
He played 15 years in the NFL.
A quick throw. Touchdown, Derek Mason.
He had over 12,000 receiving yards.
Midfield, and there he goes. 80 yards for the touchdown.
And now you can ask him anything. Have a question about football or life? Now's your time to ask D-Mace.
We'll welcome you in.
Now.
D-Mace.
On 102.5 and 106.3, The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It's time to ask D-Mace on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Willie Donick, of course, Derek Mason, and Adam Vingan here with you. Get your calls, get your texts, 615-737-1025. Let's start with Craig on our text line because it is NHL trade deadline day. Mm-hmm. So let's start with this question from Craig. Derek, during a trade deadline, if your name is rumored, how stressful is that away from the game on your family with the possibility of having to change cities and kids changing schools and stuff like that?
It's very stressful. I was part of a potential trade. I ended up getting traded once, but I was part of a potential trade rumor. My third year, I think, in the NFL, and, you know, just the uncertainty on everybody's part. And I'm talking about me and my family at the time of, you know, it's not business as usual. You can't go about your day business as usual because you don't know at any minute you'll get that call. Now, later on in my career, when I was already established toward the end of my career, actually the last year, to me, it really didn't matter because I went into the season with high hopes and felt just like rejuvenated and ready to go. End up being on a team that, you know, it just sucked everything out of you, basically. Not to say that the guys were bad guys, but just it wasn't, you know, conducive for winning, so to speak, in with the Jets. So, when I got traded from the Jets to Houston, I was almost relieved, and I was ready to go, you know, because at the time my family was back here in Nashville. So I just, you know, packed my bags, and a really good friend of mine who also did some work, for, a lot of work for me, Deb, I went to Houston. She had everybody pack up the apartment, and my stuff was shipped off to Houston and was there 2 or 3 days later. So that was different because – you know, I was ready to go. But the first, when you're young in your career and you sort of hadn't gotten to that second contract, man, when you're young, just starting a family, that stuff, it can be a lot stressful on you.
Joey from Bellevue says, hey, D-Mace, did you get lost navigating through the red light district while in Amsterdam last year?
You know what?
When I went, it was like a maze.
I did not go. And full,
I thought we were really going to have a story.
Full disclosure here. I loved Amsterdam with my family. Full disclosure.
That was your summer vacation last year?
Yeah.
Okay.
My son and my daughter, more so my daughter, they wanted to go, but during the daytime, not at night. They wanted to go during the day because they wanted to see it. Like, see what it's about, just see the actual street. And we never got a chance to go. So I wasn't going to go down there and take my kids down there at night, even though they are adults. But they wanted to go during the day to kind of walk down that street and see what it was about. So, no, I didn't get a chance to get over to the red light district, neither at night nor during the daytime.
It's how I feel about when I go to New Orleans, and I try to go to New Orleans regularly. I always try to just pass through Bourbon Street. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to take a walk down the street. Maybe I'll pop into a bar quickly. But I just like, all right, I'm going to go. I'm going to say that I was there, get the experience, and then go somewhere else. So I've never been to Amsterdam. So this may be an apples to oranges thing here. But I imagine the red light district is like that for people too, for certain people as well.
Yeah, it is. It's sort of... From what I understand, again, because I haven't been there, from what I understand, it's for adults. That's what it is. Yes. And then another reason why I just love Amsterdam, because they are a big proponent of 420. Was it 420?
Yes.
Yeah, 420. They're a big proponent of 420. So I love Amsterdam.
I don't know if I can say this on the air. Okay, I'm not going to.
I'm saying I love Amsterdam because of that's another reason why.
Do you remember
the
end of the song, the next episode?
Yes, yes.
Smoke something every day.
You can do that in Amsterdam if you want to.
Hey. Smoke blank every day. That's what it's like in Amsterdam. Jerry is on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Jerry, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Team Mace.
Yes.
If you were a game show host, what would the game show be? And what would your entrance music be?
Oh, my game show would be, what would your mama say?
Thank you for the call, Jerry.
Thank you for the call, Jerry. That would be the name of my show. So when you, like, different situations, you're doing something stupid, you know, because we all do it, even as adults. Sometimes somebody, what would your mama say? That should be the name of the show. Just go around with individuals for the day, record them, and then bring them back to the studio and sort of tape the show in such a way that they show what you were doing, and then they say, what would your mama say? And then they have your mama coming on. That would be hilarious.
There was a skit on Saturday Night Live a couple of years ago, and Saturday Night Live likes to do these sort of game show things. And the name of the game show was Why'd You Like It? And Kenan Thompson was the host, and the contestants were shown Instagram photos they liked, and they would say, why'd you like that?
Like, why did you like the
post? Be like a thirst trap. It's like,
oh, no. That'd get people in trouble, right?
Why'd
there.
You like that? What would your mama say?
What would your mama say?
I love it.
Who would be your sidekick?
Oh man. Gosh.
Chris Sanders.
Yeah.
Chris Sanders would make an excellent game show.
Show sidekick. See, my homeboy Gerard. He lives here. My homeboy Gerard would be there. He'd be an excellent sidekick because he's a people's person.
Okay.
He just like talking to people and everything else. So when you have someone that is a people's person that love conversation, they're great sidekicks because they do all the other stuff.
I feel like we need to get this guy on the show.
Exactly.
It sounds like we need to get him on.
Yeah, absolutely.
The other person I think
he's called in before.
Oh, he has?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
The other person I think that needs to be part of this panel, part of the mix. There's different ways to get people involved in a game show,
mm-hmm.
but I feel like your friend, your teammate that you went in on the bullet 50-50,
Shy
your first
Hart,
car.
My best friend, but he lived
okay.
in Michigan. But yeah.
Well, we got to bring him down.
Okay.
This is a big operation. We'll make him an offer he can't refuse.
More the merrier. The right people, though.
For people that missed the bullet story.
Yes.
This is a classic. Like, we all remember our first car, mm-hmm. right? So, teammates, limited funds, just like me. I had to sell my baseball cards to get my first car. But so tell them about the bullet.
Okay, quickly, the bullet. My friend Sean and I, who's like a brother to me, did, you know, spoke at my mom and dad's funeral. Just a stand-up individual. Love the guy. So he and I had $250. Together, we put it together,
$500. $250.
Back in, was it 94 or 95? Might have been 95. So we put our $250 in. We go to this nice older lady's house, and we come up on what was then just a blue Ford Escort hatchback. So Sean and I, we buy it. The kicker is Sean didn't know how to drive a stick shift. I did. So I had to drive us around for like 2 or 3 months, like back forth. So I had to get up early when I didn't have class to take him because he had class. But he kind of figured it out after a while. So fast forward, the Bullet, everybody loves the Bullet, you know, see it riding down campus.
You got wheels. You can get
around.
It got
wheels, everything. It got so bad where one of our buddies, he played fullback, he broke the seat on the Bullet in the driver's side. So whenever we would drive, you'd only see the top of our heads because it was leaned back so far. That was the only reason. But we got us a new car. Well, not new car, but new car. Our senior year.
Upgrade.
It was a slight upgrade. But the front passenger tire was bigger than the actual car rim. So when we would turn right, you would hear. So we really couldn't make a right. We tried to make all lefts. So
that's a problem.
Yeah,
we end up going in circles if my calculations are correct. If that happens.
So we got to drive in this car a lot, you know, because it was plush. It fit a lot more people. So we got to drive in that car. So one day, Sean goes out and it's snowing. Sean goes out. You know, the caddy don't start. So Sean like, hey, we got two cars. That's a luxury. Two cars in college? I ain't telling you how much the cars combined cost about $800, but still. So Sean comes back up and say, hey, D, where's the Bullet? And I'm like, what do you mean? It's down. We had it parked right in the front. It's downstairs in the front. He was like, no, it's not. So I threw on my clothes, jumped out. We searched that whole parking lot. It was a big parking lot. Somebody stole the Bullet.
That is a shame.
Somebody stole the Bullet.
It's a sad ending to a great story.
Yeah, it really was.
So,
but we neglected the Bullet.
We still don't know where the Bullet is right now.
We neglected the Bullet. We did. We left it. We didn't even start the Bullet up. We never started the Bullet up.
Somebody got it started?
Yeah,
somebody found a way to get it started.
Exactly. Somebody
Hello,
got it started.
D-Mace.
Yeah.
Where is the Bullet speaking. Today?
Hey, Suit.
Do you have a report on the Bullet, Chase?
No, I want to know, do you know the VIN number? Because we got to track this thing down.
Let's find
Did it even have a VIN number? Did they do VIN numbers for the Bullet?
I'm sure they did have the VIN number, but we didn't know what the VIN number was.
Your co-host needs to be Yancey Thigpen.
Why? No, that wouldn't be my clothes. No.
His clothes would probably be nicer than yours.
Oh, much.
But
much
you were
more.
A better football player.
Yes. And you had a fur coat. Yeah, I didn't tell y'all that. Our audience, well, we have so many new audience members.
Why don't you hold that thought?
Because I got another story.
All right.
I'm sorry.
We'll tell that story. Get your questions in for Derek Mason, 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025, 1063, The Game. D-Mace, Fingan, and Donick, 1025, 1063, The Game. It's still Ask D-Mace, but we have a developing situation in the SEC Women's Basketball Tournament. Vanderbilt was down 25 to South Carolina. They've cut the lead to 5 with 4 minutes left in the fourth quarter in the quarterfinals of the SEC Tournament. So we'll be keeping an eye on that. But Vanderbilt, a furious rally to make it a 5-point game. They trailed by as many as 25 to the Gamecocks, now down 68-63 with 4 minutes left.
It's been kind of fun to watch them come back. I thought they were just getting buried. In the first half, they could not get a good shot at all.
Or the shots they had, they just wasn't falling.
They were down, quick math here, 48-23 at halftime.
Oof.
And now they are down 68-63. So making it interesting. 4 minutes left in the SEC tournament quarterfinal. Derek, before we went to break, there was a story that you were going to tell.
Yeah, quickly, Chase brought up the Yancey Thigpen and him being the co-host for a reason. Back in 1998, Yeah, 98. They went out and they acquired Yancey Thigpen via free agency. He was the biggest free agent wide receiver, I think, at that time. And, you know, back then, my number was, you know, people think my number had always been 85 because they just remember me as 85. But no, it started off as 82. And interesting, here's the interesting story is this. What makes it so interesting? I'm at home and I'm just laying in the bed. This is early in the morning. I'm laying in the bed and this is about 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock. And I turn on TV and ESPN is coming on. And all of a sudden I just see Yancey Thigpen sitting there. I wasn't surprised about like necessarily that, but he holds up an 82 jersey. And I'm like, what? Isn't that my number? So I'm thinking like, man, like, they didn't even ask me. They just
and Brett Beatty got a car from the Mets for giving up his number 22 to Juan Soto.
I didn't even have a chance to negotiate a deal.
Oh man, this is terrible.
He just
wait a minute.
He was like, "Hey, I got 82," and Hoss was like, "Mace, what number you want?" And 85 was there because Rohner had left. Rohner had just left. Mike Rohn, he had just left. He had 85, so I took 85. I wanted 80 when I came in. Rohner had 80. Mike Rohn, he had 80. So then I picked 82. Rohn was still there when Yancey came in. So then I took 85 because that was Derrick Russell's number my first year. So I'm like, I'll take 85.
Okay, we need to find Yancey Thigpen.
One more thing. Breaking news from Adam Schefter. The Titans are releasing Harold Landry.
Oh, wow. And here we go. Maybe Adam was listening to the show.
According to Adam Schefter, this was from 12 seconds ago. It just happened. Mm. The Titans are releasing Harold Landry.
So they
But what did I tell you? I said
no trade partners.
Yeah.
And can't have him at that number.
They're telling you, listen, they're telling you to go out and find a trade. When a team tells you to go out and find a trade, they really don't want you on their roster anymore. In the sense that I thought they were going to try to rework the deal and you know, allow him to pay for half and then let him make his decision based upon that. But they just probably knew that he's not taking a pay cut and there's not a market out there for him in regards to trades.
So, again, according to Adam Schefter, the Titans are releasing.
That's big.
Harold Landry.
So now what do you do? I mean, I get it. He was not worth it. I was saying this last year. His contract is fat for what he gives you. He's a solid player in a 17-game season. He's a 9 or 10 sack guy. By the way, South Carolina has retaken control.
74-63, South Carolina.
Vanderbilt missed a tight, in-tight shot that rimmed out. Mm. So they maybe hit the wall here.
Mm-hmm.
But Harold Landry is a good football player,
yeah.
Right? He's just overpaid.
Yes.
So I understand the financial move, but I'm guessing they probably went to him kind of like Rand Carthon did to Kevin Byard, which he got lambasted for all summer, but it was the right move.
Yeah.
We want you, but we need you to play at a certain number. And they couldn't come to terms. And so Harold Landry, he's probably going to end up on the Ravens.
So I wanted to know if this is going to be a big deal with Stillman because he tore Rand Carthon a new one. Even suggesting that he take a pay cut.
And Byard was way overpaid
of
his career.
But I'm sure Borgonzi or Brinker went to him and say, well, they did. They had to because they said go out and look for a trade.
Right. And what my point two summers ago when this happened was because Byard was such an important guy, I said most players in that situation get cut.
Exactly.
They didn't cut him. And maybe they should have, but they at least were able to get a trade and get something for him. So that ended up working well
for them,
for the Titans.
So,
but they can't get anything for Landry here.
Mm-mm.
So Harold Landry has been cut by the Tennessee Titans, according to Adam Schefter. Now I have to find this tweet from John Glennon, who has the financials.
Mm-hmm.
John Glennon, according to Over the Cap, the Titans will gain $10.95 million of cap space at a cost of $13.1 million dead cap.
Hmm.
Yeah. SpotRack had that almost to a T. That's been out there. SpotRack does a pretty good job. There's a lot of stuff in salary caps, you know, maneuvering the salary cap, as we know, in football. But they usually do a pretty good job of drawing the line of when a long-term contract becomes get-outable.
And it was
for lack of a better, it was get-outable. This was the time to get out of it if he couldn't rework it.
Mm-hmm.
So Harold Landry, the longest tenured player on the Titans roster, no longer a member of the Tennessee Titans. All right, back to Ask D-Mace. Let's see if I can find these questions because they're coming in hot and fast. One person, okay, Billy, I found it. Billy from Indiana wants to know, Derek, point blank, who will be the Titans quarterback in 2025?
Oh, man. That's a hard one. But I am going to say, and don't hold me to this one, but I think Cam Ward will end up being a starting quarterback.
Okay.
Don't hold me to it, but I think after it's all said and done, they are not going to pass up on Cam Ward. I think they're going to like him. I think there's going to be a consensus throughout the building that Cam is the guy.
One texter wants to know, Derek, how long does it take for players to know that they've got that dude at quarterback, like with Steve McNair? How long to know a quarterback is not that dude?
Man, at least I think we early on knew it was just something about Matt that, whether it be his toughness, you know, his ability to get, you know, everybody to play at a certain level. Again, he wasn't a rah-rah guy. He led by example out there on the football field. And you got to understand, he came in, I think, two years before I did. So I'm sure they saw something in him, you know, that they knew. But, you know, once I got here, there was just – you felt as if Steve's on the field, we got a chance to win. And I don't think, at least not in my career, I felt like that every time with a quarterback. Like, no matter what, like, we gonna win today because of that guy. Now, there may be quarterbacks that I thought, you know, okay, we can win, but then on this day, it's like, man, he doesn't look like he got it today. We got to lift him up. No. Steve, every time he stepped out there, was like, okay, we got to win. Whether we won or not, we can win because he's our quarterback.
Let's see. What else do we have here? Mike in Clarksville wants to know quickly. We are more than an offseason away, the Titans are, from being competitive. What do you say if we run it back with Will Levis and his low cap hit, stay away from all the quarterbacks this offseason, and utilize all the assets we have in this year's draft by trading the number one pick away and what's in free agency to bring in players to fill in as many holes as possible? So I guess let's boil it down to this. How would you feel about, in this exploratory year, as Willie likes to call it,
Lewis and Clark on the Oregon Trail?
There we go.
Were Lewis and Clark on the Oregon Trail?
I don't know. I don't think so. They were the gateway to the West, though.
Right.
Lewis and Clark.
I told you that, you know, when I would play Oregon Trail, I would have a bad time.
You were the one that brought in the Oregon Trail. I just brought in Lewis and Clark.
I know, but
they went west in general. Oregon is west of where they started, but I didn't know if there was a connection.
All I know is that my oxen would regularly drown in the river, and my family would die of dysentery from eating or drinking contaminated water. It was tough times back then.
Yes.
But quickly, could you see a world where the Titans can justify Will Levis starting a quarterback next
year? Listen, I said this before, and I'm going to repeat it again. Now, whether they do it or not, that's up to them. I don't think you can afford to run it back again with Will Levis as your starting quarterback. Now, if he ultimately wins the starting quarterback and show that he's developing, okay, that's a different story. But you can't come into the season saying, he's our quarterback, there's no competition for him. We're not going to even draft a guy. He's our quarterback, we're going to run it back like that and surround him. You can't do that to the fan base. Because the minute, if you do not start off on a good note next season, nobody's coming to the game. She will feel it in her pockets, because when she comes to home games, and I mean Amy Adams, the owner, when she start coming to home games, she's going to see no one there. If you run it back with Will Levis and y'all start off 0-3, 0-4, you can't do that. Can't do that to your organization. So I think it would be hard for them to run it back with Will Levis under the circumstances they find themselves. But here's the interesting thing. They hired Mike McCoy a few days ago, and he's a quarterback's coach. So why are they bringing another quote quarterback's coach on this roster? Don't you have two of them already in the head coach and the offensive coordinator slash quarterback's coach? Don't you already have two or three guys on the roster, but you bring in another guy? That may be telling me something. I'm not going to say definitively, but that may be telling me something.
Well, it's interesting you bring that up because I actually wanted to talk about that coming up next. 615-737-1025. We'll also keep tabs on the NHL trade deadline. We are approaching the one-hour mark. The NHL trade deadline is at 2 o'clock Central. Barry Trotz will join Jared Stillman at 3 o'clock. The Predators have not made a trade today, but we'll see if that changes within the next hour. Willie Darnick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025, 1063, The Game.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made, because that's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino's the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.